This is The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Whether you're in a relationship, dating, or happy solo, embrace your single journey and adventure to the fullest. Bill Napick and Robin French bring you The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Join us for great conversations, dating ideas, and single lifestyle tips. Now celebrating The Single Life, here's Bill and Robin.
Welcome to the show. It is The Single Life with Bill and Robin. And Robin is on the road, actually, as we have a very special edition today. Robin, let's tell people what's going on.
Hey, Bill. Well, I'm driving back from Illinois, headed back to Houston. I spent Easter weekend with the family, but instead of flying, I drove this time.
Actually on the road with one of the adventures that we'll categorize as a single adventure. You're there by yourself in the car, right?
I am. It's my solo adventure. It's been so much fun, though. You know, I was telling you last week that, I mean, I was looking forward to this for weeks because the beauty of traveling by yourself, whether it's in the plane or whether it's in the car, but in the car especially, like, for 16 hours, which I break it up, by the way, 8 one day and then 8 another day. But literally for 16 hours, I don't have to worry about anybody else other than myself. I don't have to be an employee. I don't have to be a sister, a friend, a dog mom, any of that. I can stop where I want to stop, you know, eat what I want to eat, play the radio, listen to my audiobooks. Just the sense of freedom, and I love it. I just love road trips by myself.
And probably a lot of good thinking time along the way, I'm guessing.
Oh, for sure. Great thinking time. And it's a great time to get on the phone and catch up with friends. I can't say enough about it. And some people don't like to travel alone, or some people are scared, safety-wise, to travel alone, especially females, right? But I make good choices, and I only stop in larger cities, and I choose a really good gas station. Well, it looks like a decent gas station, but and then I'll find a Starbucks and grab a coffee and use their restroom. So I just try to make good choices instead of stopping in the middle of nowhere to gas up and go to the restroom, right?
Exactly. And I want to back up a little bit and say, as you were mentioning, 16 hours. That's 16 hours each way, right?
Yeah, 16 each way. Yeah. But I don't do it all in one day. 8 one day, and then I stop in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then I stay overnight, and then I drive the other 8.
And that's a lot of time. I would say this, Robin, as you are, what city are you in right now, or about where are you? Do you know?
I just stopped in Festus, Missouri. Woo-hoo! And I gassed up, and I got myself a lavender latte.
I've never had a lavender latte, but lavender is one of my most favorite fragrances. I will ask you this. As you're driving, tell us about the weather that you have. And how many cars are on the road? How thick is the traffic?
The traffic is not thick. And the weather is 83 degrees, believe it or not. I actually had to take my sweatshirt off. Donned a t-shirt.
I will submit to you that any car that you look at right now going in either direction, not just at this moment, but during the course of your 16 hours between today, tomorrow, and previously, I bet you're the only one doing a radio show that's going to be broadcast in the fourth largest city.
I'm sure you're right.
I will take that wager, and I bet I'd win, right?
Yeah, this is so much fun. I'm glad we can do this. Well, we did a show a long time ago. Remember, we did... But we were just sitting in a parking lot. We did comedians in, it was like comedians in cars, but we did coffee with Cupid.
Yeah, we weren't we weren't comedians at the time, and that was also just to our own credit. That was before comedians in cars, by the way. It goes that far.
Was it?
Yes, it was. So that goes way back, and in fact, one of the motivations for that is that's where we wanted to meet somewhere, but also we ended up having superior sound quality on that show, and also I think we had some great fun along the way. The car we were in, tell us about the car.
Yeah. So I loved the car so much because I think it was fairly new for you at the time. But I liked it so much that I went and bought one myself.
Different color.
And that's what I'm driving now.
You're in the vehicle right now. Well, as you were thinking of all this time on the way there, on the way back, what are some of the things that we want to share as it relates to singles? I know we had a pretty good showing on the first show. I received a lot of positive responses. So what are some of the things that you've thought about that might help singles out there listening right here in Houston or wherever they're at?
Well, again, I think that you need to, especially for single women, the safety issue of traveling is a big thing. So just be sure that you're making good choices as to where you're stopping, gassing up, getting food. Make sure that you have a plan for a really decent hotel to stay, right? I mean, I stay at the same one all the time. It's clean, it's comfortable, good value. It's a Courtyard by Marriott, in case anybody's worrying. I'm wondering about that, but yeah. So I have no worries. Make sure that your car is maintenanced, of course. But it's been, knock on wood, gotta find some wood here, pretty stress-free.
And that's a good thing. I also want to make sure, as we're talking about safety and vehicle safety, one of the things I do, and as you're on a trip or anywhere else here in Houston, driving around, a thing that I do that is simple but overlooked sometimes, when I get in the car, immediately I press my lock. And
you're always reminding me to do that, which is good. Good, good, good.
And everyone knows I'm a big, strong Dwayne Johnson type guy. But even though I fit that profile, I am locking the door just because I don't want any trouble and I don't want to have to hurt anybody.
Well, and you know what else? Bill talked me into getting into buying the spray gel. What was it called again, Bill?
Pepper spray gel, I think. I'm not sure which one you bought.
Yeah, the gel version. Yeah, I did. The one that started with an S. I think it was S.
Well, I think that one, the company is called Sabre, but it's always good to have something there to be able to get away from an entanglement that you don't want to be a part of. And I'm told, I've never had to deploy my pepper spray gel yet. However, I'm told the difference between pepper spray and pepper gel is pepper spray has more of an opportunity, depending on the wind, to come back and backfire on you, where gel is a little more steady and flies through the air more certainly. So that's what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, too. And the Billy Club. I brought my Billy Club. But I'm using that. God, they'd probably beat me with it, end up taking it away from me and beating me with it. But it does feel good, you know, to have it. But one thing that I wish that I would have had, not that I would want to use it, but I just wish that... I wish I would have had a gun, honestly. I don't know how to shoot one, I wish I would have had a gun.
Well, interesting you say that, because I'm going to guess the reason you say that is the idea of having a gun may make you feel better. However, you're taking a trip, I will caution you and others, as you're taking a trip crossing so many states, the gun laws vary, and you're better off not having a gun unless...
Yeah, you have to do your homework.
You have to do your homework, and even if you had a license to carry, some states don't recognize that, so you don't want to have a loaded gun in the car as you cross state lines, especially on a 1,600-mile trip. So let that word go forth, whether you're single or not. And I'm not a gun expert, but I do know that as I reach out to people. So here we are. The interesting thing is... You're enjoying, as a single person, taking your trip alone, visiting family. You're now by yourself in the car, listening to books, talking to people, being on a radio show and all that. Yep. It made me think, as I was thinking about this, our phone call today, Robin, as I was exercising this morning, is one of the most valuable things we have in any condition is time. We never get time back. We could lose money. We can gain our money back, earn it back, and those things. But time, we never get back. So as single people, we have a certain luxury of time as to where we don't have to always consult with people. Yes, we have our responsibilities in our profession, our friends, and things like that. But we don't necessarily I will say we have more time to decide what to do with than others. For example, if we were married, yes. We don't have to worry about visiting the in-laws, we may love our in-laws, but still, we don't have to do certain things. And you, so you are emphasizing and brought to my attention 16 pure hours of your time thinking and doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't sound selfish. I mean, I hope not. But I mean, there is something lovely about only having to worry about yourself for a while, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, I did my time while I was married. I did my time while I was a mother.
You sound like a prisoner. Wait, I did my time.
I did all that. And a dog mom, I'm still doing my time with that.
Yeah,
but speaking of the dog thing, I mean, Bill, listen, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about this part. Just being able to sleep in and not have a dog smack me on the face with their paw to go to the bathroom because they have to go out and go to the bathroom was so lovely. I had 4 days of that. It's lovely.
We talked last week about the idea of having tools and talents as a single person as we navigate. And one of those tools is having the right support staff, lack of a better word, a support helping group. So in other words, in your case, to be able to enjoy the freedom of not worrying about your dogs for a few days, you have to have known and found the right person to pet sit because you love your dogs. I love my dog. So you want to make sure they're in the right hands when you go forth on something like this. So that's very important as we assemble the things necessary to have a successful life and a successful single life, have the right people to watch your pet.
Yes.
Now, maybe you're a single mother out there. You want to have someone that you trust. Maybe it's a relative of some sort. So you want to assemble, at least in your mind, to be able to enjoy and navigate some of the things and people that will help you get along the way.
It's the peace of mind, just knowing that Tammy's there. She stays my pet sitter. So it's different. You know, pet sitters do different things, right? Sometimes your animals will go to their home. But in my case, I pay her to stay in my home. And she even sleeps in the bed with the dogs like they're used to. And just all of that and the fact that she knows them well and she's my regular pet sitter, doing all of that gives me such peace of mind. I can't even describe it.
And that's a great thing.
Yes.
Now, the other thing I'm thinking about is on that same subject in assembling our elements for success is, what if this pet sitter is not available when you want to do something? It's always good to have a backup in these categories.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, I'm working on that now because there is a week in May where she's traveling, but she found a backup for me. So, and I'm, you know me, I'm a helicopter mom. So I have to, so I told her I'm going to have to call this woman over. I'm going to have to do some practice walks. And so, you know, show her the ins and outs of the building and all of that. But, I'll have my backup lined up in no time. But some people don't have, I mean, I know we've struggled. We're trying to find somebody for you with little Elvis.
Well, Elvis has certain needs and he doesn't adapt to people well.
Yeah.
So this is a problem for me, and I don't have it figured out. So we go along the way and say, we don't have it all figured out. And I wonder, in the case of Elvis or others that have special animals, that in the case of Elvis, I think his problem is he's not mean to people necessarily, but he's afraid of them because early in his life, I don't think he was treated properly. So somehow that is still hung on, and it's something I have to work with. Now, if I were gone, as I think about him in this situation, perhaps I'd be surprised how he would adapt if I weren't here and he had to adapt. Because somewhere along the line, when I first met him, he adapted to me and the people around him. So we have to know our pets, and we have to take care of our pets when we do these things. But going back to what you're doing right now, you're enjoying it. I want to go back to one other thing before we move on, and that and this is, you have a billy club. Describe this. Is this a baseball bat or what sort of device that we don't want to encounter?
It's an actual billy club. It's a club. I don't know. I had a man gave it to me, so it's literally a club. I'll have to take a picture of it later on and show it to you. But yeah.
Well, I would feel.
Listen, I don't even know how to use it. It just gives me peace of mind to have it in my car. That's right.
Peace of mind is so important. But I'm going to guess the good thing is you can cross state lines with this club and not be in any kind of trouble.
Indeed. Indeed. And you know what the best part of my morning was? My sister packed me snacks. She packed a bag of snacks for me. She packed a thermos of coffee for me, some water.
Wow.
How sweet was that? I know.
Well, that's exciting.
So sweet. I know.
Well, as we move on, Robin, what are some of the things that you've thought about as we address people that are single? And the other thing I'm thinking about is along the way, I've also had feedback from married people that have heard the first show, and they are saying they're finding it interesting, even though they're married, as they listen into the topics that we're talking about.
Yeah, I'd love their feedback. What'd they say?
They said they like it.
They did?
They
yeah.
said it's interesting. One person said, I'm glad I'm not single.
yeah, because that last segment was pretty funny. We had some pretty funny dating stories, that's for sure.
And dating stories. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, in the married world, I'm sure there's some pretty funny stories that go on there as it relates to their friends, to their family visits, as you're just now returning from one. So many things are there. What else have you thought about that might help someone single right now that's thinking about, or let's take someone that's just divorced and they've now been divorced. We don't know the exact time it takes for someone to recover or whatever. Maybe you're never recovered. But let's just say this person, it's been a healthy amount of time. They're ready to go to be in the dating world or to find someone to be with. What would you advise?
Well, I think we touched on this before. First off, making certain that you are truly ready to get back out there again. I believe that there are a lot of people out there dating who shouldn't be dating because they're not, you really have to clear your head and your heart before you get back out there again. I've used this before, this analogy. You got to look at your head and your heart as real estate. And I think that a lot of times the reason relationships don't work is because you've saved a piece of your real estate, whether it's in your head or whether it was in your heart, you saved it for somebody in your past. You saved it for someone who was, ex-boyfriend, ex-wife, ex-neighbor, somebody that you cared for deeply. And you saved that part of real estate, right? And never gave it up. And some people get into relationships and still hold that piece for that person, whether it happened or didn't happen in their past. And so I don't believe that you can truly have a real successful relationship unless you've given them all of it, all of that real estate, head and heart. And so I believe a lot of times folks get out there and they're dating and they have no business dating. So I think that give that some, for the people listening, give that some thought. I mean, can you truly say that you're not holding a space for someone in your head or in your heart? Because you really have to heal first. Because there's no business, you have no business being out there if you're still under construction.
Robin,
there you go.
So, really, that is so profound.
But it's true.
It is true.
That's why their relationships don't work, because you didn't really fully give them all of you. Just to be able to get into a spot where you finally healed, okay, now I'm ready. I can truly give them all of me, my heart, my mind, and fully engage and give them your full attention. That just reminded me. I remember when a long time ago, I was dating somebody and I believed that we were only dating each other. But I remember the day that he said to me, I just want to let you know, Robin French, that you have my full attention. And I remember that. I mean, I was in my, I think late 30s at the time, but I remember thinking, he just asked me to go steady, right? But then later on in life, when I replayed that tape, I was like, oh my God, He was telling me that he had been dating other people, and now he was done dating those other. Oh my God! I had no idea.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What you said can mean a couple things, because he didn't say he was, and he didn't say he wasn't. So this goes back to the right. Subject of communication.
It is. That's why I wanted to.
Very vague.
Why I wanted to bring it up too, because you need to have a conversation. Don't just assume when you're dating someone that they've stopped dating other people. You have to have a conversation about that.
Exactly. So there needs to be a point in the relationship where it's spelled out. It's nice if someone would say.
Don't assume.
Right, but it would be nice to hear someone say, "Hey, you have my full attention." Okay, that's great.
Isn't that a classy way? That's a classy way of saying.
But it's also it's very nice. Mm-hmm. Except that it's not addressed. It depends if it was the time to address it or not. It might be something to say in the preliminary phase, and at some point later, this person or could have said, "Well, okay. By the way, I want to let you know I'm not dating anyone else," and then that's your case to say, "Well, neither am I," or whatever the case may be, and then you at least have established that, and once again, that's called communication. But it was nice to say that he said you have the full attention.
Well, I think part of it, too, was the backless dress I was wearing. The backless dress I was wearing didn't hurt either, but yes, it was a sweet moment. I thought so.
I want to go back to what you said because it bears repeating. I've not heard it put so well.
The backless dress?
Not the backless dress.
Okay.
The part about your head and your heart being real estate. And it is exactly right, whether it's an ex-husband, wife, or whatever, girlfriend, these sorts of things. But you're right. It is real estate, and you have to have room. You need to get out that tenant. Get out the tenant that was your ex and make room.
I like the way you put that.
Right. We're going in a real estate mode here, and you get the tenant goes out and you clean up the place, and that's the getting ready phase.
Right.
You clean up the place and get ready for the new tenant.
Indeed. And I like that.
Let's further do the example and say during the time that there's a vacancy, you do the marketing in such that there's a sign. I'm not saying you walk around saying for sale or for lease. We're not going to wear that. We're not going to wear that T-shirt.
Put it on VRBO, the Airbnb.
We got Airbnb relationships. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but we market ourselves in a certain way, whether it's a subtle way or not. But we have to be ready, just like getting the place ready for a lease for the new person. So it's
life
has
that.
So many parallels like that.
Yes.
You are listening to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. We're going to come right back after this.
The Single Life. Tune in Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC or streaming on the iHeartRadio app to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Bill Knappick and Robin French bring you The Single Life every Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. I'm Bill.
And I'm Robin.
And you are Robin, driving all the way from Illinois. We're talking to Robin in her car. She's looking around. There's no telling how many single people are behind the wheel that are sharing the road with you, Robin.
Indeed.
But we talked about something that was kind of important, getting ready, and the idea that you brought forth about having our hearts and our room and our lives for someone else as real estate. Because we only have so much time. Yes. We only have so many things we could pay attention to, and we'll call that real estate as far as being available.
Yeah, I think a large part of why a lot of relationships don't work is because we break up with someone that we immediately get back out there again, searching, and people just don't give themselves time to heal or to reflect or whatever it is that they need.
Yeah, maybe they should take an 18-hour drive.
maybe they should. Although that's not why I did it, but yes, absolutely. Go on a trip. Clear your head. Take a vacation.
As you mentioned that, along the way of driving and trips and so forth, driving is often referred to, even if it's a short trip, some people do say, "I want to get in get in the car and clear my mind. Or driving sometimes, if we can put aside road rage and these other things, but if we get in the right headspace, taking a drive is actually can be therapeutic if we treat it as such, short or long, cross country or whatever else.
It's great therapy. And you know, I realized last week, I was thinking about this. I couldn't remember the last time I took a long road trip, but usually I'm just driving 8 miles, I'm sorry, 8 minutes to work and back. And so just to be able to just hit the road and drive, you know, 1,100 miles, I've enjoyed every minute of it.
I'll bring forth another thing. As you are excited, and even in talking to you, other than being on the show, I find that your mindset is so important. You have a positive mindset.
Yes.
Now, someone could easily say, and this might be me, although I do like a road trip for the right reason for a long period of time, but someone could easily say, oh, I don't want to drive 18 hours. Damn, I'm gonna dread, that's going to be horrible.
That's most people. Every time I tell somebody, they're like, what? Have you lost your mind?
Exactly. So it's about having the right mindset, and if we have that mindset going in, to a trip like that, most possibly we're not going to enjoy it. However, there could be a revelation along the way, but having the right mindset is important. Having the right mindset as we go forth to be available and or look for a mate, having that right mindset is so important.
I'm glad you said that, because that's another thing too. I coach or tell people this all the time. Men like happy women. So getting yourself in the right mindset is so important. If you are single and you do want to attract a man, men are attracted to happy women. And women are attracted to happy men. So work on it, get yourself in a good place, and find your inner and outer happiness.
I'm going to mention something here that I think about, where I know someone through these many years, and I believe they're probably happy, but you need to tell your face that you're happy. You need to tell your body language that you're happy. And especially if you are wanting to attract a mate, especially if you are wanting to find a new employment or additional employment or market, whatever you're doing, you want to look like you're available and that you're maybe happy is not the right word, but maybe it is. You want to look like you're happy. But the person I'm thinking of, Robin, and there are so many, I could mention several people like this. When you just look at them, this person looks like they are, everything is drudgery, even though this is someone that is very professional and loves what they do. I know they love what they do, but it's just, I don't believe this person has an idea of how they appear in our demeanor. So I think
I have a friend like that too. She wonders why she can't find a man. Well, it's because you're grumpy.
Or you look like you're grumpy.
That too. Exactly. Yep. And then listen, we're all allowed to have bad days. You know, I think there's like one day a month where I wake up and I need to put the covers over my head and just stay in bed all day. But for the most part, I'm a glasses half full gal, and that's the way. And I like to look at the world through my rose-colored glasses too.
So as I think about this, it makes me wonder, what can we do to make sure that we're not walking around looking grumpy or repelling people? And repelling important relationships and important job opportunities and friendships and even mate. What can we do constructively to make sure we have an idea how we appear? Now, myself, I don't walk around with a big happy face. I know that, and I don't laugh very easily. Or I don't laugh. But, however, as I move around the city, as I move around meeting one person to another, or I'm buying a coffee, whatever I'm doing, I'm very engaging. I'm usually curious about people. I'll engage in conversation, and they probably will pick up I'm not a grumpy person, and they might want to even talk to me longer. I'm just guessing. But if you're not that person, Maybe you should consult friends. Have an inner circle of friends.
Should.
Like the person I'm thinking of, I'm thinking she should perhaps talk to someone she trusts, and we should all do this and say,
what kind of vibe do I give off? Well,
there you go. The what kind of vibe?
What's my vibe?
What is my vibe? Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And I think, you know, hearing that from other people too, hopefully that'll get you to change things up. But self-care is so important. Don't you believe? I mean, your self-care, like you play the organ and you just have lots of great hobbies, right?
For me,
it's I surround myself with a lot of fun people. And, you know, I have my own hobbies and I do things for my self-care. I'm all of those. I have great family. They're a great support system. But mainly my tribe, too. You know, I've got my front row friends, my second row friends, my third row friends. But surrounding yourself with positive, fun people is key. And not everybody has that. But, you know, get out there and find it.
Here's another thing. Not just fun, but we always hear, especially in competition, athletics, and things like that, we hear that it's good to surround ourselves with people that may have more skill than we do in a various field because it helps us reach to that next level.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have lots of very successful girlfriends. I have beautiful girlfriends, successful girlfriends, and guy friends. And I'm not jealous of them. I celebrate them. I celebrate their successes. I'm there for any of their losses. But, and they feel that in me, too.
So the good point there is to surround ourselves with the right people.
Yes, absolutely.
In business. Yep. In anything else, so that a very important point right there.
Yeah, and even you know, I was thinking about this while I was driving too, because I had a friend who's sick, and she's single. And think about that, Bill. Think about the times that we've been sick when we were single. I remember when my back went out a couple years back. Thank God for my close girlfriends. Well, even my hairdresser brought me some food, but I couldn't, I mean, I threw my back out. I couldn't move. I had someone helping walk the dogs. I had someone bringing me food. You know, luckily I had a tribe surrounding me that helped take care of me, because think about it when you're sick. And I was also thinking last week, like I wasn't single during the COVID era, but I was thinking about all the singles who were single during that. I had to be so difficult. So very difficult.
Good point.
Were you single during COVID?
I was. I was fine.
How'd that go?
It was fine. I was. Well, Elvis and
I. It feels like we didn't know any different.
Elvis and I were just fine.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking this is so important. It goes back to setting up our, if you will, our single toolbox, so to speak.
Yes.
Because along the way, and during COVID and the last couple 2 years, I'm hearing about people that are having hip replacements, and some of them are in their 40s. I'm hearing about knee replacements, and I know a single gal that last year, I think it was, she had a knee replacement. And there's something where you, like you're saying, when your back goes out, she needs help, and I don't even think she had a dog, but she had friends that helped her walk, help her get her groceries. So it's important to have friends. And I'm going to just throw this in. This comes out of a random field, but I do want to make sure we talk about it, being single. Have your friends assembled and be ready to be there for them, too, because you never know when the time comes where you're going to have a problem where you need help.
Yeah, or just, well, not even something where you need help physically, maybe just emotionally,
emotionally.
Too. Because I know I've had a friend who had two really, really, you know, hard losses. One of her best friends, fiance died, and then when her mom passed. Anyhow, you know, just I drove quite a bit of ways to the funerals. But one of the sweetest things that she ever said to me we were having dinner one night, and we were talking about our miles and how many air miles we had built up and whatever. And she said, I'm not going to use my air miles, Robin, because God forbid something happens to one of your parents. I'm going to come and join you in Illinois. And that was probably one of the sweetest things anybody could ever. I mean, think about that. How unselfish is that, that she was saving her miles to be there for me because I had been there for her at a couple of different funerals. And I don't know, it was touching. It was really cool.
Really amazing. Another thing I want to bring up, as far as the times where, and I know through the years there have been times where I've been in this boat, where you do feel not so great. One of the best things that you can do is volunteer. You need to get yourself out there in the event that you're not happy, you're having a tough mental time. Yeah, you want to have friends to reach out to. But another thing is giving back. So important.
Absolutely.
And so many opportunities here in Houston to volunteer, whether you belong to a church, want to belong to a church, but churches have so many ministries within them where many of them would like you to volunteer. If you're not in the church world, there are so many other things. There are animal organizations that need help all the time. They need help walking dogs. Very important. So many great things that we can do.
Yeah,
and when we help, there's no doubt we feel better. And in some cases, we see people that have more challenges. So all of a sudden, we might be appreciating where we are and not be so gloomy or down about whatever.
Yeah, giving back for sure. I remember someone asking me a long time ago, what was my favorite job ever in my entire life? And my question back was, paying or non-paying? Because my favorite job ever, paying or non-paying, was the non-paying job when I was volunteering at the Ronald McDonald House. That filled my soul like nothing could. I mean, it was the best job ever. And I intend to go back, but I stopped when COVID came. They weren't letting the volunteers in there like they were before.
And the Ronald McDonald House organization is not just in Houston, correct? It's all over.
Yeah, all over, yeah. There's tons and tons of them. In fact, I think there's maybe, eight or more of them in Houston. But yeah, it's really cool.
Awesome.
You should Google it. Everyone should Google it. But another fulfilling one was Big Brothers Big Sisters, too. When I lived in Austin, I was a big sister. I found that super rewarding as well.
And what does a big sister do? What is that about?
So Big Brothers and Big Sisters, that would be for families. So in their case, she had five children. And, she was a lower income mom. And she had to work so much, and they didn't have a dad, that she had enrolled her kids into this Big Brother, Big Sister program, where you spend time with the child. I think you're required two days a month, if I remember correctly. You could spend more with them from what I remember. But so they match you with a little sister, and mine was 9 years old. And, I would take her out and we'd go have pizza, or we'd go to the movies, or we'd go to a museum or whatever, and just spend time with them and be a great friend and a great mentor to them. And their goal is hopefully that you'll stay with them throughout their lives as their big sister or their big brother. And, a great role model for them, because they do quite a bit of background check on you, and, they want to make sure that they're of who you are, right? And matching you with the right child. Mine, unfortunately, she moved away. She moved to Wisconsin, so that ended that.
Point being, there's always ways to help right here in Houston, Texas, or anywhere else where you may be listening, and it's good to do that no matter how you feel. But especially if you're in a mode where you might not be super happy. Or I remember one time my son and I, during Thanksgiving, when I first got divorced many years ago, we went down to a shelter. Instead of having a Thanksgiving dinner anywhere where it was a family or a big thing, we went down to a shelter and helped put meals together. And that was a while ago, and I still remember that, and I wonder if he does too.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yes, show your children how to volunteer. Absolutely. Yeah.
Being a good example right there, right?
You should share the story of your last road trip when you found that. Remember you found that Airbnb and you and Elvis went on an adventure?
Well, we did go, not as far as you. We simply went to Canyon Lake, and it was at New Year's, actually. So I rented a little cabin, and Elvis was with me, my 15-pound little dog. And
love
it was
that.
Only third where my son lives in San Antonio, Canyon Lake. He's on the north side. So the nice thing is it was just a 30-minute drive for them to visit me. And when they came to visit, it was a nice environment, log cabin, deer and things around. So it was a real nice setting. And the other thing in this particular Airbnb, as it was Christmas, the end of Christmas, New Year's, of course, but they had a Christmas tree all set up. And
aww,
just a quick word on singles. For years, I used to put up decorations. I don't do that anymore. So in this case, I rented not only the log cabin, but I rented the decorations that went with it. So that was nice for me.
Aww.
And when they came to visit those several days, we had a little living room there with the Christmas tree, exchanged
nice.
The gifts, and had the opportunity to spend time. So that's nice. And that brings up the
yes.
subject where when we visit our relatives, it's great. Normally, I will stay at their house and in the guest room and things like that. But the nice thing is sometimes when we visit relatives, pick a place either in between, something scenic, close to them, but have it be a neutral spot where you can all enjoy something new at the same time.
Yeah, and you're not in their hair, right?
Right. They went home to their house at night, and I was in the cabin.
Yep. That's awesome.
You're listening.
I love that.
To The Single Life with Bill and Robin. We're going to come right back with even more right after this.
The Single Life. Tune in Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC or streaming on the iHeartRadio app. To The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Bill Napick and Robin French bring you The Single Life every Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC.
Welcome back to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. I'm Bill.
And I'm Robin.
Robin driving her car from Illinois, doing tremendous work, enjoying the trip, right, Robin?
I am. Not quite sure where I'm at right now, but it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's 80 degrees. I got my lavender latte. Life is good. And I'm taping a radio show.
And you're on the radio. That's where you're at, and people are listening to you right now. And speaking of traveling,
yes.
You probably have a story, Robin, about your single travels or maybe just as a single traveling with someone. Let's hear that.
Well, aside from my road trips by myself, traveling to and from Illinois, let me think. I've been to Mexico by myself. I went to an all-inclusive trip in Mexico, and that was fun. You know, I met some interesting people, and the plan was to go with someone, but that ended, and I had paid my share and he had paid his share, so I still went, and I had a great time.
Interesting.
How about you?
I have a story almost exactly like that, but it was not Mexico, but it was the idea where this was what was called a Winter Wonderland package, where I had a super deal at one of my most favorite places, the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel. If you've not been there, you need to go. It is a wonderful place. And they had the Winter Wonderland package. And the beauty, now the Ritz-Carlton right now, I checked, I think the rooms are up to $800 a night, maybe more, maybe less. But like anything else, if you look for a deal and you know how to do that or think you know how to do that, way back, now the rates were less. But I will tell you, I had the Winter Wonderland package for me and my mate. And I think at the time, I was the going rate was like $375 by the time you put all the taxes. But the beauty is the $375 got you received a beautiful room overlooking the Pacific Ocean. In addition, they waived the recreation fee. They waived the $25 valet parking. And these were those old prices from years ago. So all that said, and one of the best parts of it, it included a $60 breakfast credit. Now, this was, again, the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel, which, again, this same package would probably be $1,500. So there I am with the Winter Wonderland package. My my girlfriend at the time said, oh, she got sick, and I had the tickets. And I said, well, I'm going to go anyway. So I went there. But in the meantime, other than having a great time, it's just a wonderful place. I can't say enough about it. However, I had the challenge of how do I eat $60 for breakfast? And at lunchtime, of course, you can't use the money for lunch. So it's a $60 breakfast credit. So therein lies the challenge. So what I did, and this was a four days of breakfast at $60. Now, even back then, the Ritz-Carlton standard breakfast was $25, let's say. So it's not that hard to spend $60. But so there I was. And the first day of the breakfast, I'm thinking, I'm not going to leave any money on the table. That's just not how I am. I want to use every penny. So what I did, and they did let you use the money for the tip as well. So there I am. I ordered my $25 breakfast, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't normally go for high-end drinks, but let me have a latte. There's another $6, and I'm thinking, well, I still have money on the table. This is $60. I'm by myself. This was for two. So then I said to the guy, I said, well, let me have dessert. So I'm getting an ice cream with cake, and this is breakfast.
Now that sounds like that girl that you took to dinner that one time.
Right. I became her, the girl from the first show. I would record. So that said, I still had money left over. So what I did was give, that was the tip. I'm a generous tipper, especially when I'm at a place like that. So day number two comes. The person sees I'm a big tipper. Next thing you know, I ordered again. I might have gone for the breakfast buffet, and that might have been $24 too. I had a super drink, of course. But then I'm noticing as the subsequent days passed, the server, who's getting to know me by now, is not charging me for everything. So they found after the second day when they didn't charge me, say, for the ice cream float that I had or whatever, I just used that money because I had $60, so they got a bigger tip. So by the fourth day, I don't know what they charged me for, but I was still spending $60, and they were getting a big, it might have been $20, and they got a $40 tip, right?
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's happy. Long story short is they got a generous tip, and I approached the challenge. Isn't that a great challenge of when you have money? Hey, I have to spend this money. How do I spend it? And by the way, at that same time, those of you that are movie fans like me, as I was there at the Ritz-Carlton eating my bountiful breakfast, my $60 breakfast, I look over there, and who do I see but Diane Keaton? Now, I know Diane at the time was a resident of Laguna Beach, which is the next town from this hotel, and I guess she was having a staycation. She had her three children there, and along the way, I did get to meet her. On the day, or actually the couple days, I chose the breakfast buffet, and I met her in the line as she was there, and she was very, I didn't bother her, and I just said, hey, I'm a big fan, and you enjoy, we're having a good time, and she was very nice. So,
cool.
There's a single adventure, and don't leave money on the table. Enjoy yourself. If you're out there, let me just say this, and you have a $60 breakfast credit, leave
That's
a big
a lot.
Tip. It's great. Leave a big tip and enjoy your breakfast. And I will say this, it doesn't have anything to do with being single, but I kind of, for those 4 days, I enjoyed having dessert for breakfast.
Well, yeah. I mean, I bet that was fun. And you can because you're on vacation.
Exactly. I'm getting hungry right now as I'm thinking about it.
You can do it any day, really.
Treat yourself, your mate to something nice. And
well, again, let's go back to being ready, getting your mind and your heart ready to date again. And we talked about this in another show or two, just pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone. There's too many people out there who are saying, I'm not meeting anybody, but you're not doing anything differently. You're not pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. You're not even getting out of the house. So that would be my advice.
And also to remind people to have a feel, and this is a little difficult maybe, have a feel to see what people see when they look at you. Now, I'm not going to tell you I know how to do that necessarily. However, yeah. Have a feel for that idea.
Yeah. Ask your friends, hey, what would be, you know, 5 or 6 different words that you would use to describe me? It's going to be interesting.
Have a feel. I think the only way to do that, to do this, is to film yourself. Because as I think about it, not on this show, we're not doing any camera work, but on the real estate show that I do, I have cameras on myself and the guest. And as I edit the show, look at the show, I'm looking at the guest, I'm changing cameras, but I'm also looking at myself, and I could see, hey, there's what people see, for better or worse.
Are you talking about looking at yourself physically, or are you talking
your
about
mannerisms, your body language, your expression, your passion, what you're saying?
We've talked about that before, but not everybody is comfortable being on camera, so I don't know if that's the most authentic way to really judge yourself.
I don't know if it is either, but it may be a way, because when I talk to people about public speaking every now and then, if you want to be a better communicator, and I'm not saying you have to do this on the radio, you don't. If you want to be a better communicator, one of the things I recommend is record yourself. So that means if I'm on a phone call, and even if I'm not recording the other person, if I want to hear how I sound, I might record myself. I go back and listen, and then I find things, oh, I shouldn't
That's
have said
good.
That. I'm using that word too many times. You just...
Yes.
I don't know the
or
answer.
Or you're like me. Yeah, you pointed out, I'm a lip smacker.
I'm
a smacker. I'm a smacker. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway... Things to be mindful of. We don't have all the answers. In the meantime, you've been listening to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. I'll remind you to go. You can go now to a YouTube channel called The Single Life with Bill and Robin. I set that up. Look for it. It's there with this show and a couple others on it, The Single Life with Bill and Robin. It's a podcast you can download on Amazon, on Spotify, and 3 or 4 others. Look it up, again, The Single Life with Bill and Robin. And if you go to the YouTube channel or my website, radiobill.net, you could send me an email. You'll find the way to do that. Simply go to radiobill.net, send me an email. And if you want to want us to talk about a certain subject, we will do so. Send the email to us. And then other than that, Robin, continue your safe journey. We'll all be thinking about you. And keep your eyes on the road. Keep,
will do.
If necessary, pull out the billy club and
I hope I don't have to.
I hope you don't have to either, but if you do, we're going to talk about it on the next show.
And I want to thank everybody who's listening. I tell your friends about the show, and also if you have some suggestions of things you'd like us to talk about, but also stay tuned, because coming down the road we're going to, I'm saying coming down the road because I'm driving, but down the road on our program, we hope to get some singles on the program talking about their life, celebrating their successes, and talking about some of the things that they've struggled with, highlighting them. But also, we'd love to get some married couples on there.
That too.
They can talk about what it's like to be married and add their secret sauce. Tell us about their lives and their what they celebrate and what they struggle with.
As you said, coming down the road, those things await. Thank you all for listening, and until next week, we'll see you then.
Thank you. See you next week.
The Single Life. Tune in Sundays from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC or streaming on the iHeartRadio app to The Single Life with Bill and Robin. Bill Napick and Robin French bring you The Single Life every Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 950 KPRC.